In Uganda, 40% of the people have to walk 30 minutes or more for clean water. Two-thirds of the world's population could face water shortages by 2025. Do something today. Your gift could help install a Jesus well, providing water for an entire village for 25 years. Gospel for Asia has installed 30,000 of these wells, and they need your help to give life to thirsty people. Join Truth Network in supporting this cause. Go to truthnetwork.com or call 855-573-7351. Let's bring the living water to the world.
This is Stu Epperson from the Truth Talk Podcast, connecting current events, pop culture, and theology. And we're so grateful for you that you've chosen the Truth Podcast Network. It's about to start in just a few seconds. Enjoy it, and please share it around with all your friends. Thanks for listening, and thanks for choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network.
Have you thought about your loved ones and their financial security if the unexpected happens? Plan for the future with PRCUA Life. Do it for them. Since 1873, PRCUA has been insuring that which is most precious, life. As well as protecting its members and their families financially, helping craft robust retirement plans, join PRCUA Life today and take advantage of its affordable life insurance plans, competitive annuity rates, and additional member benefits. Did you know that you can lower your income tax bill and boost your retirement income by opening a new PRCUA Life annuity or transferring your existing account? Earn up to 3.75 APY with 1-year guarantee and $500 minimum deposit. Get to know us better. Visit PRCUA.org or contact your local PRC representative at 336-776-7456. PRCUA Life, protecting life through all its stages.
All right, for my YouTube channel, it's If Not For God with Mike Zwick. Just like, subscribe, and hit that notification bell, so you'll be alerted when we have our next video.
Welcome to If Not For God, stories of hopelessness that turn to hope. Here is your host, Mike Zwick.
If Not For God with Mike Zwick, I'm glad we've got our good friend, Pastor Dana Coverstone. We're going to be talking about the end times, and I'm looking at 2 Timothy chapter 3, and it says, "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them." It clearly tells me, Pastor Dana, when I read the book of Revelation, in the last days, it's going to be tough. There's going to be some rough times in the last days, but there are a group of people out there who, whether it's postmillennial, amillennial, or even the preterists, who say, oh no, that's not what it means. We're not premillennial at all. we're actually in the millennium right now. And some of them say it's going to get better and better until we usher in the return of Jesus Christ. And they said, yeah, things may get bad for a little while, but they're going to keep getting better and better. And you guys are just trying to scare people, but what would you say, Pastor Dana?
One of the key verses that you just read talks about having the appearance of godliness but denying the power thereof. And that means a couple of different things. First of all, it means they don't really know who Jesus is. And in Matthew 7, Jesus said, "There'll be some that come before me and say, but Lord, Lord, we cast out demons and we did miracles and we built big churches and we had big podcasts and millions of people listening and whatever. We had dreams, we had this." And Jesus is going to say, "But I never knew you." And I think that all applies to where we are, because the appearance of godliness doesn't just mean that you go to church. It means that you seem like you have things all together, but you're denying the power and the understanding of the revelation. There's a lot of people out there that say, well, this is what's going on, that's what's going on. You know, I had some dreams, I shared them, and I continue to share dreams. I continue to believe and preach that God is going to allow some hard times to come, because it does say in the last days, perilous times will come. And that is a picture of a ship rocking back and forth, you know, on the waters, and the tumultuous waters are there. Paul also said in 1 Timothy 4:1, "Now the Spirit expressly says in the latter times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons." In other words, Paul just said flat out, absolutely, there will be people standing in the pulpits, pastors and preachers, that will be preaching and teaching things that are not just false, but they are straight from hell itself. They are doctrines of demons. They're going to be teaching things that do not line up with Scripture, that violate everything that Jesus we hold true and dear in the church, and that those doctrines of demons are not going to just deceive people, but they will encourage people to do things that they shouldn't do and believe things they shouldn't believe. I believe that they're warning people to not listen to the warnings. And there's nothing more dangerous. When Jesus said in Matthew 24, Luke 21, he talked about the signs of his coming, that we need to pay attention to him. He also said that when they drag you before governors and kings and leaders, don't be afraid about what to say, because the Holy Spirit will give you the very words to say. As a matter of fact, that passage, let me just go right there to Luke 21 for just a minute, because in that passage, Jesus makes some pretty strong statements that we really need to pay attention to, because they reflect on where we are.
Let me ask you this, Pastor Dana. Are you saying, and this is what I've had people say to me, well, the book of Revelation is just all symbolic? And then I'll have other people who say that, well, it all happened in 68 or 70 AD. Is that true? Or?
Well, John, the Apostle John, was given that message. And Jesus said to write this down and give it to the churches. He didn't say, and after it all happens in Rome and it's done and over, we won't need this book anymore. There's one thing that has not happened, and that is the return of Jesus, which is, you know, Jesus said, behold, I'm coming quickly and my reward is with me. He said he would bless the reading of that book. He said that he would honor it. Don't take away from it. Don't add to it. In other words, the people that say, well, this happened in Rome, well, really did it? Because Jesus hasn't come back yet. So some of those things have not happened. Those that would say, well, it's just symbolic. True, there's a whole lot of symbols in there, but a whole lot of what Daniel saw was symbolic as well. And yet God was giving that message to Daniel so that he could, you know, and what happens in the book of Daniel also is revealed also openly in the book of Revelation. We see those two books, Daniel and Revelation, going hand in hand. Why? Because they all talk about end times. Daniel sees some of those things that are happening and going on in visions. John, the revelator, brings it out and says, here's what's going to happen. And some of those things we have not seen. And so when people say, well, it's all symbolic, well, okay, have you prayed about that? I'll ask people, well, what do you mean? Well, I read this commentary. Well, there's a bunch of other commentators that believe it's literal. There's other commentaries that believe it's symbolic. But have you really prayed about this? You know, what's the Holy Spirit revealed to you about these things? Because there's a lot of people that say they have positions that they hold to. They've not studied. They've not dug. They've not spent time in the Word to really know what they believe to begin with. But they just show up at church, they sign off the sign, hey, I was here today, and they leave, and that's about all. And God's calling us to be students of the Word. God's calling us to let the Holy Spirit lead us and guide us in our interpretations and understanding. And that means, you know, David said he meditated on the Word. And what that means is he took what was written down, he took the things from the Torah and the scrolls, and he thought about it, and he thought about it, and he thought about it throughout the day. He meditated on it. He tried to say, okay, Lord, what does this mean, and how do I apply this to my life? He tried to take that Word and go deeper with it. And so that's why we need to be students of the Word, because if you know the Word, you're not going to be geared towards deception. And that's one of the major and most important things that Jesus said both in Matthew 24 and Luke 11. Luke 21 verse 8 says this, see to it that no one leads you astray. For many will come in my name saying, I am he. Don't go after them. And so the very first thing after the disciples say, what will be the sign of your coming? The very first thing that Jesus says is, do not be deceived. And the way that we cannot be deceived is to stay firm in our salvation, that foundation. And we can stay true to the words, keep our nose in the book, keep reading, keep praying, keep seeking, and also stay in good fellowship with other believers. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling together yourselves, because the author of Hebrews and Jesus himself knew we were going to need each other. I need those people that I'm going to see on Sunday morning. They're a part of my life. Those guys I pray with on Tuesday nights, they're a part of my life. We need each other. And so when Jesus said, you know, beware, you know, see to it that no one leads you astray, he was saying one of the key signs of the end times would be absolute deception, and that we would have to keep our ears hearing the Spirit of God and keep our eyes in the Word in the book and know it very well. So I think the deception, and Paul even talks in Thessalonians about that deluding influence that will come, that deludes the minds of believers. And if you remember, in Matthew, Jesus said, even, you know, some of the things that were happening, if they weren't slowed down, even the elect would be deceived. So Jesus in these stories is telling us, do not be led astray. And we got to make sure we stay around people with solid, sound theology. We work out, it also says, you know, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And that fear and trembling part means we better know what we're talking about before we just throw something out there and say, it's kind of like the rapture idea. You know, I believe in a rapture. And if I'm wrong, then I'm wrong. But one thing I do know for sure is that Jesus said he's coming back. He said, I'm coming back soon, quickly, and my reward is with me. And when the disciples saw Jesus ascend in Acts chapter 1, the angels basically said to them, you know, why are you looking up? This same Jesus will come back the same way. Paul had a sense of imminency that Jesus was coming back. And he basically said, you know, after the dead in Christ rise first, those of us who remain alive will be caught up with him in the air. In other words, there was this anticipation that Jesus was coming back. And so if I'm on the rapture, I'm wrong. But I'm going to continue to live my life as if the rapture could happen tomorrow or the day after that. I want to live my life in imminency because although even if the rapture doesn't happen, who knows I'm going to live through tomorrow. I could have a heart attack tonight. I could be hit by a car. Who knows? You know, things can happen. I've got to be ready at any given time. And so the deception part, to me, is a key piece of this whole puzzle with the end times. There would be great deception because if the enemy can convince people not to be worried about Jesus coming, just live your life, do your own thing. And, you know, as a pastor, I have had a lot of deathbed confessions. I've been in nursing homes and hospitals. I've been in emergency rooms where people thought they were dying, and they've confessed everything they should have done and didn't do and all the sins they've done and all the stuff they've been a part of. And then I see them get out and they go right back to living that kind of life. And what scares me is they've been deceived. Oh, well, I got things right with God for a while. I'm okay now. Instead of saying, okay, God, this is a new day. What do I need to do for you today? So that deception, I think, is part of the key of the end times that we don't think a whole lot about that. But I see it as a key part because Jesus, the first thing he said was, before all these other things happened, the first thing he said was, do not be deceived. See to it that you are not led astray. So if Paul talks about doctrines of demons, if Paul talks about having the appearance of godliness but denying the power, he's talking about an apostate church. He's talking about a Laodicean church. He's talking about a church that really doesn't know who Jesus is, but thinks it's okay. That, to me, is the worst thing about, even worse than the persecution opposition is coming, is that there will be people who do not really truly believe that Jesus Christ is coming back. And that concerns me greatly for the American church.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, if Jesus didn't want us to be ready for the end times, then why would he say this? It says in Matthew 24:11, and I'm looking at the NASB, it says, and many false prophets will rise up and mislead many people. We have a friend of ours named Michael. We have a Bible study on Saturdays, and he said, most false prophets don't even know that they're false prophets. They think that they're telling the truth.
Yep. And that's the key thing where people can become so convinced that what they know is truth that they become dogmatic about it. You know, there's a few things I'm dogmatic about. First of all, you need to get saved. I'm dogmatic about that. I'm dogmatic about the fact that Jesus comes back. But I get emails, I deal with things every single week from people who don't think God speaks through dreams, who does not believe that the baptism of the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues is still for today. I have people who tell me God doesn't heal anymore, or God doesn't speak anymore, God doesn't do these things, these gifts and these abilities are gone. And I say, you know what, you can believe what you want, but I'm standing on the word, I'm standing on the truth, and if you don't listen to me, fine, don't listen to me. But until he comes, I want to be able to be faithful and obedient with the Lord for him and to him. I want to make a difference in people. If nothing else, if what I do on a show or an interview like this can encourage someone to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ, then I'm happy. If I can encourage people to do everything they can to get closer to the Lord, if I can encourage people to find more and more power from the Holy Spirit in their lives, then I'm thrilled about that. I'm not trying to convince people of doctrine, but at the same time, I live my life by the doctrine of the Word. And so Jesus said that you'll know them by their fruits. So in other words, Jesus gave the world the right to look at us and say, that's not really a good Christian, or, man, that guy's a hypocrite, or that person's this. So when he said, you know, by their fruits you'll know them, he was saying not only will you recognize the false stuff and the hard stuff, but people will recognize in you whether or not you're real. And so that appearance of godliness without the power, I don't want that. I want people to feel the presence of God in my life, feel his love in my life, and the way that I respond and talk with them. Even if they disagree with me or hate me or want to scream and yell at me, I want to respond in such a way that Jesus is seen. And in the last days, we're going to have more and more issues with that. Because even in Luke chapter 1, he said, there'll come a time when you'll be hated. He said, you'll be delivered up even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends in Luke 21:16. Can you imagine a parent that turns their kid in because that adult child of theirs is serving Jesus or going to church or still believes the Bible is God's word? That's what it's going to get to. And so if you're just wishy-washy and have no foundation, if your roots aren't deep in faith, You're not going to be a witness for anybody. And Jesus is basically saying, endure to the end. What he's saying is, be my example. Be my example, even if they take your life. Be my example, even if they cut your tongue out. Be my example, even if they take out your eyes so you can't see what I'm doing. You be my example no matter how hard it gets. And that will be led by, and also the deception that's there will convince people that they're doing God's will by having us killed.
Yep.
That's the clincher. Well, it's the deception that leads to that in the church world, I believe.
Yeah, and it says in Acts 2:17, and there, I believe it's quoting the book of Joel, it says, and it shall be in the last days, God says,
yes,
that I will pour out my spirit on all mankind, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your young men will see visions, and your old men will have dreams. So I guess I'm old because I've been having several prophetic dreams for a few years now.
Join the crowd, my friend. Join the crowd.
You know, one of my latest dreams that I had, it was a real quick dream. It was where all of the lights went out in the United States. Do you feel like we need to pray as a nation right now, Pastor Dana?
I believe I have been trying to call the church and the nation to prayer since September of 2020. We've got a prayer meeting here on Saturday, May the 14th. It's a 6-hour prayer meeting. And we're praying that we're going to pray through the book of Daniel. We're going to repent. I'm going to ask the folks that are here to pray that prayer that Daniel prayed. And we need to, I believe that God reveals things through warning dreams to us so that we can pray about things, so that we know what's going on. And the revelation that God gives us in dreams and visions is not on the same layer, the same level as the word of God. We understand that. But I do believe that God spoke to Pharaoh. And if Joseph had not heard from God to say, hey, here's what your dream means, an entire generation of Egyptians and other nations would have died. If God had not given a dream to Nebuchadnezzar, a heathen king, and given the interpretation and the dream to Daniel, we would not have known. That vision confirms some of the history that happened on our planet, even involving Alexander the Great. And so those dreams then become a confirmation that God still speaks to people today. And I do believe, obviously, that God speaks to people in dreams and visions. Why? To wake them up, to warn the nation, to warn the church. And so I fully believe, and their thing is, in the last days I'll pour out my spirit. That's what Joel said and Peter quoted. Paul said, in the last days, perilous times will come. We got to balance those two, because if we're walking in the power and the fullness of the Holy Spirit, no matter how perilous those times get, we will still be on the right side of it. We'll still be having the faith and the encouragement in our heart, our minds, and our spirits to do what God's called us to do, and we'll not be living in fear. Because God's not given us a spirit of fear. He wants us to live it out. And so I'm thankful that Peter realized, hey, this is that Joel was talking about on the day of Pentecost, and that the power of the Holy Spirit is there for us in the end times, in these days, to help us to walk in faith, to live it out. I still believe that God does miracles and healing. And if he never does another miracle through me praying for somebody, okay, I'm still going to pray for miracles and healings. I'm still going to believe he's coming back. I'm still going to believe that he wants to use my life and use you and use us for his glory. I'm still going to believe that God has a hand in this nation. He's not walked away from us or forgot us. And that this is the time for the church to raise up. And I mean, rise up and do what he's called us to do, to go out and do the exploits. Because that appearance of godliness and denying the power, that is so much of the church right now. Even every church in America needs somebody in that church to get on fire so they can be an example to everybody else in that church. So that no matter, you know, and there's folks that don't want to pray, and okay, fine, but I pray here at my church, Lord, you send me people who will pray. Help me to surround myself with people who will pray. And every Tuesday night, we got 9 to 10 guys that'll pray every Tuesday night. I got folks that come early on Sunday mornings to pray. I got folks that come early before Wednesday night services and pray. You know, we're doing prayer meetings once a month now at our church, and we've got a 6-hour one coming up in a few weeks. And I'm excited because I believe God's going to use the prayers to make a difference, to change things, and to impact the church and fuel the church to have more fire as we go in these last days and see the deception coming.
Yeah, I mean, in 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Well, there are many people today, and I understand why they would say this, is they'll say, well, things are just bad in the United States. They're not going to get any better. No matter what we do, things aren't going to get any better. So, you know, why even worry about it? And I think what they're really saying is, why even pray about it? But what do you think?
I think that prayer changes things. And Jesus said, he told us the importance of prayer. The disciples in the garden, he said, should I even pray with me for 1 hour? In other words, the principal thing of Jesus' life was that communication with the Father. And so he modeled prayer for us. Even the point of saying, when you pray, pray like this, not like the Pharisees, not like the other leaders, pray like this. And he gave us the, you know, the Lord's Prayer. He gave us the Beatitudes. He gave us the foundational understanding of why prayer is important. I believe that when I pray, God shows me things. Jesus said, the sheep know my voice. In other words, he was saying, if you follow me, I will speak to you and you will hear my voice and know the direction you're to go. And so the church needs to understand today that when we pray, he hears and he responds. It's not a one-way street. He responds back to us. And so we need to pray according to God's will. But, you know, even some of the dreams I've had, I believe that it was given so people could pray about certain things would not happen. I really believe that September could be an abysmal month for the United States and other countries. I really believe that. I had the one dream about the three jets. I talked about March. We had a March prayer meeting. Had several folks show up for that. We're going to have a meeting in September, a six-hour prayer time then. And I'm believing that God's going to help us to make a difference in those months. But if we don't pray, we don't do anything. Jesus said we're to occupy until he comes. And that occupy is a military term which means hold the ground. Hold the ground. And that means we set up a perimeter. And we don't leave it. We don't let anybody, no enemy comes in. That means we fight, which is why Paul talked about putting on the armor of God. That's why the Bible tells us to take every thought captive. So in other words, it's a fight. And so prayer becomes a fight as well. And I'd rather fight in prayer and end up with some scuffles and some bruises and some pain and see God do something. Because he does say, if my people call upon him, they will humble themselves and pray, he'll hear. And he doesn't just hear it to say, oh, I hear him praying. He hears and he responds. And that to me is one of the neatest things about God. He hears our prayers and he responds. He moves according to what we pray. So when I pray, I expect God to hear. And when I pray, I expect God to move. Not to do what I want him to do, but to pray, you know, to do it according to his will. And that's another reason why Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, daily interceding for you and for me by name of the Father. I don't understand how that works in an eternal sense, but I'm just grateful that the Son of God is praying about you and about me. He mentions my name to the Father. So if he's talking to the Father about me, then he's going to respond to some of the things I'm praying. He's going to move. He's going to hear those things. And I've lived my life long enough as a pastor, as a Christian, to realize I've seen more answered prayers in my life than I've seen unanswered prayers. And I will go to my grave or in the rapture knowing that he's a God that answers prayer. I would say to the church, yes, you need to pray. And if you don't feel like it, then there's something wrong spiritually. You need to get in the Word. You need to start seeking the Lord's face. You need to ask him to give you wisdom and encourage you in your prayer life, because the prayer life isn't just to have a communication, talk with God and walk away. No, that prayer is about, what do you want me to do, Lord? Where are you sending me today? Who do I need to reach out to and talk to? That's communication that's open. So when we pray, I believe God moves, God listens.
One of the things that we're praying for is a revival. How about you?
Absolutely. And I'm praying that the revival that comes will wake churches up to how they can pray. I constantly pray for the corruption in Washington, D.C. and in the nation to be exposed. I constantly pray for people to wake up. I pray for the pulpits to be filled with fire. I pray for believers to be waking up in our churches to understand the times in which we live. You know, we're supposed to recognize the days in which we live, the times. So when Jesus says, here's the things you're going to see, he's telling us that so that we're awake. And I pray the church becomes wide awake in the fact that Jesus is coming back and he wants to use us for his glory and that we see him move. I want to see people saved and filled with the Spirit. I want to see our baptismal tank filled every single Sunday because we've got to baptize all the people who get saved. And I'm hoping that other churches, other fellowships, other denominations realize that God wants to move, and he has to use us to do it, because Jesus could have sent angels around the world to say, hey, Jesus Christ is Lord, hey, get saved. He didn't do that. He chose us. Paul said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, this weak, physical, human body that breaks and bleeds and dies and gets older. God has chosen to give us the greatest message in the universe has ever known. He entrusts us, weak, vesseled, human people, to share that gospel. Man, what a privilege. What an awesome, awesome privilege that God looks down and says, humanity, I got a message for you. Now you share it with the world. I'm humbled and I'm honored by the fact that Jesus gives us a chance to tell somebody else about what he's done for us. So I believe revival is going to happen. I've got my own opinions about how big or how small it will be, but I believe there's going to be pockets of revival all over the world, all over the country before he comes. I really believe that.
We pray until he comes. And, you know, there's some people who say, hey, well, you know, it's getting bad. I guess it's just going to be awful. Jesus is going to take us out of here soon. So, you know, I'm just ready for that. But do we still have some work to do, Pastor Dana?
Oh, my. You know, Paul spent the last years of his life in prison. And I guarantee those people in prison heard him pray for them by name. Paul said some of the Praetorian Guard had even come to Christ. Why? Because Paul wouldn't shut up. He was in prison. He was writing, you know, he wrote 40% of the New Testament, some of it written while he was in prison. In other words, Paul said, okay, God, I'm in prison. I'm not dead. I'm not done. What can I do? And he kept praying. I'm sure, I guarantee you, those people in those cells, they heard him sing at midnight, because Acts tells us that. He and Silas were praising God at midnight, and the chains fell off. I guarantee that those people in those cells heard Paul praying in tongues. I guarantee they heard him talking to Luke about the goodness and the testimonies of healings and miracles. I guarantee that they heard Paul praying, pacing and praying for those in that room, for the guards, for the soldiers, for the Caesars, praying for those leaders. I guarantee it. Why? Because Paul knew, until I draw my last breath, God, you've got something for me to do. I think that was, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. Now, Michael, have you ever been in a good fight? I've not been. Most fights end up with bruises and pain and blood. But you know what? He said, I have fought the good fight. In other words, he never stopped serving. He never stopped giving. He never stayed quiet when it came to things of the gospel. I want that to be my prayer when I go out. I fought the good fight. I finished the course. That's what I want my life to be. So I'm going to, until I take my last breath, I'm going to tell the world about Jesus and what he's done in my life.
Yeah, man. And, you know, I remember when I was in high school, we used to run track. And what they told us, they said, look, you should be running so hard and so fast. When you go over the finish line, we should have to catch you. I mean, how cool would that be, Pastor Dana? It's almost like by the time we get to heaven, it's almost like they have to catch us when we get there because we're working so hard.
I love that. I love that.
And you have a new book out. Tell us about that real quick.
The book is called Simple Accountability. It's just about a way of finding accountability partners, people you can share your life with and your heart, your frustrations, your temptations. For about 30 years now, and I share it all in the book, stories and things from when I was younger, but I've been letting six men know every single week the struggles I have, the temptations, the frustrations, the difficulties, also the joys and the victories about my life, my family, church where I'm at. I share openly. I'm very, very transparent with these guys. I basically show you how to do that, how to be willing to share the hard stuff. And there's a lot of things in my life that are no longer a part of my life because I had men that would pray for me as I shared the things I was struggling with. The thing about accountability is I think it's the missing piece of discipleship. Simple Accountability, you can find on Amazon, or they can contact me at realdanacoverstone@gmail.com. I can ship them a book myself, probably for a little bit better price.
There you go. And Pastor Dana, I don't know about you, but I believe that Jesus Christ is coming back soon.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for coming on again. And you guys were in for a real treat today. Share this podcast with your friends and check out Pastor Dana Coverstone. If not for God. All right, for my YouTube channel, it's If Not For God with Mike Zwick. Just like, subscribe, and hit that notification bell so you'll be alerted when we have our next video.
Consider joining the Polish Roman Catholic Union of America, also known as PRCUA Life. PRCUA Life is a fraternal benefit society that offers a variety of different life insurance portfolios for all stages of life. PRCUA Life also offers fixed indexed annuity plans with a yield up to 3.75% APY. As a fraternal organization, the PRCUA provides member benefits such as education scholarships, sports tournaments, numerous Polish-American cultural programs, and much more. To become a member and for more details, visit PRCUA.org or contact local PRCUA representatives at 336-776-7456. Consider joining the PRCUA Life this week.
This is the Truth Network.